Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter number 2. Every family has certain traditions, I guess, especially at Christmas time. And one of the traditions that we have in our family is this is the passage that we focus on every Christmas. And when I say focus on it, I mean we read this passage and we get together as a family and sit down. And prior to having any kind of gift exchange or anything like that, we try to read this passage. In Luke chapter number 2, and it's the story about the birth of Jesus and the events that happened that night when Jesus was born and the shepherds who came. And one of the reasons why, or several reasons why I love this passage, one of the reasons why is because it reminds me of my own personal experience with the Lord. And also, I think that it also is an important passage in the Gospel of Luke. And the reason why is because it sets forth some of the themes and the ideas that are found throughout the entire gospel right here at the beginning of the gospel on the night that Jesus was born. For example, those of you that were here last Sunday morning, you'll know that we spent a little bit of time talking about what the days were like in the lives of these shepherds prior to receiving the wonderful gift that they received on that night. They received a gift like no other on that night. And the reason why is because they met and received the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Messiah, the promised one, and they received Him. And it reminds me of that time when I received Him as well. But we looked at what their life was like prior to or before they received the gift. And we discovered that they were just engaged and engulfed in just normal daily living. And they were not people who were necessarily looking for or searching for some kind of an experience that night. Instead, they were just living out their normal life, just engrossed in daily life. They were just keeping watch over their flocks. The Bible tells us here that's what they did. That was how they made their living. They were just living normal lives like shepherds do in that time period. So they were just living normal lives. I like that because it reminds me of me and you as well, just normal people living normal lives who had a divine encounter that night. We discovered not only that they were sort of engrossed in their daily lives, but also that they were engulfed in darkness. And that is, the Bible tells us here that they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And of course, we know that the sheep had to be tended to and taken care of even at nighttime, even when they were enclosed in the sheepfold, the shepherds had to be there to guard them. So they were taking care of the flocks by night. And the idea of darkness introduces an important theme that is found in Luke's gospel as well as John's gospel as well. And the idea of the darkness of this age, and Paul writes about it in his letters as well, and that is that we also are in darkness. Now listen, I know that we're in the physical part of the physical darkness because of the time of day that it is, and that was the case with the shepherds, but the idea of darkness in the Bible introduces us to the real condition of humanity, and that is that the idea of darkness in the Bible symbolizes our sinful character. It symbolizes the corruption of our sin as well as our destiny as sinners separated from God in a place referred to as outer darkness. And so when you look at the shepherds, when you look at just kind of their daily life, and you see them keeping watch over their flock by night, we're introduced, are we not, to Luke's gospel, to what it's going to be like even when the Son of Man comes the second time. That is, Jesus tells us in Luke 17, it'll be like it was in the days of Noah, eating and drinking and giving in marriage, people just living the normal daily lives, and engulfed in darkness, maybe not just physical darkness, but indeed spiritual darkness. All of humanity is fallen and sinful in the sight of God. So we looked at sort of what their daily life was like. And the reason why I like this story, because it just reminds me of just average people, normal people living daily lives, but who are sinners and separated from God, just like all of us were before we also met the Lord. And then Sunday night, we began looking at this idea that God began to disturb their lives. Here they are living out their normal daily lives, and all of a sudden God interrupted their lives and God began to disturb them. And I'm so glad, aren't you, for that day in my life life, when just living a normal kind of life for a teenage boy, and nothing out of the ordinary, just normal living, and God began to disturb my life. And we know that God disturbed them, first of all, by sending His angel. The Bible says the angel of the Lord came upon them, and then God also began to shine His glory. The glory of God began to shine around them. And the Bible tells us that they were sore afraid. And I'll tell you that God began to sound His message. That is, the angels began to speak. And as the angel of the Lord spoke, there came this message to them. And it was a message, ladies and gentlemen, it was a message about joy. It was a message about peace. And it was a message about goodwill. It's a message about the Savior has come. God interrupted their lives, living normal lives, and all of a sudden interrupted by divine light begins to shine on them. In their darkness, light begins to shine, and a message begins to be communicated, and it's got them all out of whack. I mean, they are disturbed. And the reason why I like that is because it reminds me of what happened whenever I also received a wonderful gift as a teenage boy, and I was living a normal life like everybody else in that time period, and all of a sudden, God began to disturb me. Divine light began to shine, not a physical light, but I tell you that it was a light from heaven that began to disturb me on the inside, in my soul. And the reason why is because I began to hear a message, not only spoken by my pastor, but a message that was spoken by the Holy Spirit to my heart. And I got tore up on the inside. And the reason why is because I realized how lost I was and how in darkness I was and how separated from God that I really was. I realized that I was a sinner and lost and separated from God, and it disturbed my soul. And I'm so thankful for that wonderful experience when God tore me up and disturbed me. It was hard when it happened, but I'm so glad that it is. So what we've seen so far in this story, and the reason why it's so important in the Gospel of Luke and so important for all of us, is because of not only have we seen their daily living, their daily lives before they received the gift, not only did we see this disturbance that took place in their life, but there was a drawing that took place in their souls. God disturbed them, interrupted their life as normal, and He began to reveal His message to them through these angelic messengers, and God began to do a drawing in their life. As the glory of the Lord began to invade the darkness of these shepherds, as the message of the Lord began to be shared with them, the good news with these shepherds about a Savior, something began to take place on the inside of their hearts. That is, there was a divine drawing that began to get a hold of them on the inside, drawing them to the Savior. So that by the time the angel of the Lord was done sharing the good news, these shepherds were ready to get to Bethlehem and find Jesus. Look at verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste. In other words, they hurried into the little city of Bethany, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there he is, the babe, lying in a manger, just like the angel revealed to them. What I'm trying to get you to see is by the time the angel of the Lord was done sharing the good news, these folks were ready to get to where Jesus was. They knew they needed to find the Savior. There was something on the inside of them that desperately needed the Lord. Now listen, that's what happens when a person meets the Lord. It may remind you of the experience that you have had, and it's important that as early on in the Gospel of Luke, we already see in the Gospel of Luke this setting being set of what it looks like to come to Christ, what it looks like to be to experience the Savior. And that is that God sends His messenger, and a lost person begins to hear the good news, and all of a sudden something begins to happen on the inside. And that what is happening on the inside is what I've referred to as a divine drawing that begins to take place. That is, the sinner is being drawn to the Savior, being drawn to Him. You see, the Bible teaches us that a man can't come to Christ unless, first of all, that person is being drawn to Him. Jesus said this, and it's recorded in John 6:44, that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And that drawing on the inside of the heart of an individual is what we see evidence in the lives of these shepherds as they with haste, hurriedly, They're trying to get to where Jesus is at in Bethlehem. You see, they're not like the crowd that that you and I are around, right? The crowd that we're around, the church crowd. We go to church on Sunday and we get there. And I mean, the singing and the songs and the gospel message in songs. And then the word is preached and people are praying and some folks are worshiping. And then when we get done, folks just walk away unmoved, untouched, seemingly just walking away. Some who've never met the Lord who just walk away from Him. Listen, if that was the case on that night, then here's what the shepherds would have done. After the angel of the Lord showed up and revealed to them this wonderful message, and there's this worship, this angelic host that is singing from heaven, after all of that has taken place, and after the angel has gone back to heaven, the shepherds would have looked one to another, and they would have said, "We better get back to work. Yeah, I mean, listen, we got to take care of these sheep." Has anybody been checking on the sheep during all of this that's been going on? We've got work to do. Do you know a lot of people, they'll walk into the house of God, they'll hear the word of God being sung in song, they'll hear folks praising God and praying and hear the word of God being preached, and they'll walk away saying, "You know what, we got to go get something to eat. Oh, we got a job we got to get done this afternoon," and just walk away. Not these guys. Now, I say that because that's the way I was. And that is that before that Sunday morning when I met the Lord and received that wonderful gift, I just walked away. The little church where I was at, the pastor would preach his heart out. And folks would sing. And some of them would worship. I've seen people with their hands in the air and tears running down their face. Heard a few folks even shout in a Baptist church. Loving the Lord. Worshiping Him and praising Him. And all it pierced my heart because I knew that there was something wrong with me. But when it was all said and done, when the singing was done, when the preacher was done, when the playing was over, I walked away. Until that Sunday morning. And I'm here to tell you, God was doing something on the inside of me that morning that I would call a divine drawing. Something was happening in me, and God had been working on me for months, but that Sunday morning, there was a drawing. I knew that I needed to get to Jesus that Sunday. I needed Him. I needed Him to save me more than anything else in life. More than I cared about what that crowd at church thought about me. More than I cared about what my friend across on the other side of the church thought about me. I knew that I needed to get to Jesus. And the reason why that was happening is because the Holy Spirit was drawing me. It wasn't something I made up. It wasn't somebody coming up to me and saying anything to me. It was just God working on me on the inside, just drawing me to the point where I knew that I needed Jesus. And that's what's happening to these shepherds, ladies and gentlemen. They're to the point on this night, they're to the point they know they've got to get into Bethlehem and they've got to find the Savior. The Savior is here and He's in Bethlehem. He's lying in a manger. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. And we have got to get to Jesus. And what I love about this is what they left behind. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us they took all that herd of sheep with them, because the Bible says with haste. And the insinuation with the idea of haste is that they must have left the sheep behind and they hurriedly went into Bethlehem to find the Christ. I'm very impressed with what it was that they left behind. And the reason why that impresses me is because one of the themes in Luke's gospel is this idea of those who left everything to turn to Christ. Now, there's a biblical word that Luke uses in the Gospel of Luke to describe that idea, and it is the word repentance. In the Gospel of Luke, you'll find the word repentance used on many occasions. And the idea of repentance is the idea of turning away from, that is, turning away from my life and my all to turn to Christ. And it's the idea of turning away. Whereas the idea of turning to Christ is the idea of faith that you'll find emphasized strongly in John's gospel. But here in the Gospel of Luke, ladies and gentlemen, the idea of turning away from everything to follow Jesus is prominent in this book. For example, in Luke chapter number 5, you'll find that Jesus encountered the fishermen. Remember, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 5 that Peter was fishing, and And Jesus got on his boat and he was preaching to the crowds and told him to launch out into the deep. And he launched down a little bit farther away from the shore and he told him to let down his nets. And Peter said, you know, Lord, we've been fishing all night and haven't caught anything. He said, let down your nets. And all of a sudden they catch this great multitude of fish so that even the boats begin to sink. Remember that passage? It's right here in Luke chapter number 5. And the Bible tells us in Luke 5, 8 that when Simon Peter saw it, that is when he saw this great catch of fish, he fell at Jesus' knees. He fell down before him and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He's got a repentant, broken heart over his sin. The Bible says he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fish which they had taken. And listen to verse number 10. So was also James and John, the son of Zebedee. They were there as well. The two sons of Zebedee were there with Peter and also Andrew. And the Bible says that Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now listen to the next verse, verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They left everything to follow Jesus. Listen to Luke 5, look in verse number 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Now listen to this. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Look at verse number 31 of the same chapter. It says, but the scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, why do you eat with and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then he said this, I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners too. And notice the word repentance. In other words, after Matthew or Levi got saved and left everything to follow Jesus, he has this party. There's other publicans and those who are considered to be sinful people gathered together. Jesus is with them. He's being criticized and Jesus answers his critics. And he said, listen, who do you think needs help? Who goes to the doctor? Well, those who are sick. They're the ones who go to the doctor. And even so, he's saying, listen, I've come to call sinners to repentance. Now, what that tells us is this. The idea of repentance in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is not just a matter of just kind of changing your mind about things. Now, that's what you will hear in contemporary churches, and that is that repentance is just kind of change your mind. No, in the Gospel of Luke, it is clear. Repentance is forsaking everything to turn to Christ. When God brings an individual to the point of real biblical repentance, they're ready to let go of everything to turn to Jesus in this passage. And that idea of repentance is developed in the Gospel of Luke. We're introduced to it in these early chapters. The shepherds left the sheep to come to Christ. The disciples left their boats to come to Christ. Matthew left his business and forsook it all to turn to Christ. And this idea of repentance is developed. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Luke 13, he said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Not once, but he said it twice. Luke 13, verse 3 and verse number 5. In Luke chapter number 14, listen to what Jesus said. Now this is startling, but I want you to hear it because it's important for us to know this. The Bible says in Luke 14, 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. Listen to this again. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to leave everything, surrender everything, then you haven't repented and you're not going to be my disciple. Luke 15 develops that whole theme for us. You have those three stories in Luke 15. And first of all, you have the story about the lost sheep. Remember that story? The shepherd had the 100 sheep and 99 were safe in the sheepfold, but one of them was lost. He didn't know where's that. And so he left all of the other 99 and he went out and he found that lost sheep and he carried it back to the sheepfold. And when he carried it back, there was much rejoicing. And Jesus said, even so, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Yeah, those stories are about repentance, aren't they? And then he shared the story about the woman who lost the coins and she lit a candle and she swept the house till she found those lost coins. And when she found it, she called her neighbors and they all began to rejoice. She found those lost coins. And Jesus said, even so, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And then he told the story about the lost son, or we call the prodigal son, to illustrate what it looks like to repent and how much God loves sinners who repent. Remember the story about the son who got his inheritance and went to the far country and wasted it all with riotous living? He was just living in darkness, wasn't he? He was just living his life in darkness. And as he was, there came a time when there was a famine in the land, and all of a sudden his lifestyle of sin and corruption got disturbed. It got interrupted and messed up. And the Bible tells us that he got so desperate and so needy in the middle of all of that his money ran out, his friends ran out, and he found himself, he was taking care of the hogs for a hog farmer, and was so desperate he was about ready to start eating what the hogs were eating. And all of a sudden he came to himself, the Bible says in Luke 15, that he came to himself and he understood that, listen, my father's servants back home, listen, they've got bread enough and to spare. What I need to do is go back home. I need to leave where I'm at. I need to forsake where I'm at. I need to go back home and I need to say to my father, Father, I've sinned against you and I know that I have. And would you just, I don't want to be a son, just make me one of your hired servants. And do you know what that prodigal son did? The prodigal son forsook everything. I mean, he left everything. He left the hogs behind. He left the slop behind. He left the mud behind. He left the far country behind. He forsook it all and he came completely to the Father, and the Father welcomed him and loved him, and he just didn't make him one of his servants, but he restored him as his son. Now that tells us how much God loves sinners who repent and how much rejoicing there is, but it also illustrates what repentance is. Repentance is when God brings a sinner, ladies and gentlemen, to the point that they're willing to forsake everything. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. How could it be that those disciples in that fishing business, how could they forsake everything? Well, listen, to them, it was just hogs. It was just slop. To them, it was nothing in comparison to the one that they had met. Listen, you say, I don't understand how Matthew could leave his living as a tax collector, forsake it all to follow Jesus. Listen, when you get to the point you realize how sinful you are and how corrupt you are and how separated from God you are and how wonderful Jesus is, everything else looks, as Paul would say in Philippians 3, when I came to Christ, I forsook everything. It was all but dung. He considered it all but dung. He said, that I may win or have Christ. So when you see the shepherds, there they are. You say, Pastor, what's going on with the sheep? Man, listen, they found somebody more important than their sheep. And they're willing to leave everything to come to Christ. Now listen, that's the only way you can come to Him. By forsaking everything. Later on, and as Luke wrote his sequel to the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts, he wrote these words in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He demands repentance in the message that Peter preached in Acts chapter number 3. You'll see it again in Acts 17 in Paul's preaching, and Luke records it for us. Listen to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. So this idea of repentance found in Luke's gospel and then the book of Acts is already illustrated for us in the story of the shepherd. Not only does he illustrate repentance when the shepherds left their sheep to come into the city, but they illustrate for us what it means to believe, what it is to have saving faith. Let me just say that repentance and faith go together hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin. From a biblical standpoint, you cannot separate biblical repentance and biblical faith. They go together. They go together. They're different, but they go together. You can't turn to Christ without forsaking everything. And listen, if you're going to forsake everything, then you have to turn to Christ. They're different, but they are two sides of the same coin. And that's what these shepherds did. You know what they did? Not only did they leave their sheep behind, but they came to Jesus. And that's what biblical saving faith looks like. Saving faith is not just joining a church. Y'all know that, don't you? Saving faith is not just walking down an aisle. It's not just getting together in a class with some leader in the church and going through that and then get baptized. Biblical faith is turning to Christ. It's coming to Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And that rest that He's talking about is the rest of salvation. Right here in Luke's gospel, Luke also mentions this. The idea of coming to Christ is mentioned in Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 23. Listen to it right here. Luke 9 and verse number 23. "And He said unto them all," here's what Jesus' message is to the crowd that He was speaking to. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know what He's telling them to do? He's telling them to come to Him and follow Him, to come to Christ. That's what John develops this theme throughout the gospel of John. Listen to John chapter number 6, for example. John chapter number 6 and verse 35, Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You know what that means? Coming to Him and believing on Him are synonymous terms. They mean the same thing. That's what it means to believe on Him. It means to come. When you see these shepherds coming to Christ, they're illustrating those who would believe on Him. Verse 37 of John 6, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me." Verse number 44 of that same chapter, as I mentioned earlier, says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." The idea of coming to Christ is developed for us throughout the Gospel of John. In John chapter number 7 and verse number 37, you'll see this same thought that is given to us. "On that last day, that great day of the feast," that's the Feast of Tabernacles, "Jesus stood and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then He said, he that believeth on me," because coming is believing, "he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And He was not talking about literal water, but about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of those who come to Christ or those who believe on Him. You say, "Pastor, I believe." Listen to me now. You haven't believed until you've come to Him. Coming to Him and believing on Him are synonymous terms. They mean the same thing in the Bible. Another term that is used to describe those who believe on Him is the idea of turning to Christ, just like these shepherds did. On that night, they turned away from their sheep and they turned to their shepherd. I'm talking about the shepherd that was lying in the manger that night. And this idea of turning to Him is developed by Luke in the gospel, in the book of Acts. For example, in Antioch, when the Bible tells us about all the people began to get saved in Antioch in Acts chapter number 11, listen to what the Bible says about it in verse number 21. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." The idea of believing on Him there is the idea of turning to the Lord. You'll find that again in Acts chapter 4:14 and verse number 15, the idea of turning to Christ. And by the way, whenever Paul was sharing his testimony with Agrippa in Acts 26, he said that in his testimony that the Lord spoke and said that He had called Paul for a special ministry to the Gentiles to turn them from darkness and turn them to the light. The idea of turning. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 9, and he was recalling their conversion experience when he came preaching to them at Thessalonica, he worded it this way in verse number 9 about how they turned from their idols to serve the living and true God. So the idea of coming to Christ and the idea of turning to Christ are biblical themes, listen, that are developed throughout Luke's writings, John's writings, as well as the book of Acts, to describe what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's describing those who forsake everything to turn to Christ or to come to Christ and to surrender themselves completely to Him and what He did for them on the cross. And that is illustrated right here in this Christmas story, right here in the story of the shepherds, listen, who left their sheep and they came into Bethlehem. They came seeking Christ. There was a divine drawing that brought them to the point. Listen, this is not something, can you imagine, this is not something that these shepherds would have done at any other time. They would not have, listen, they would dare not leave those sheep out there and go to town. I mean, if one of those shepherds would have come up with the idea and said, you know what, let's just go into town and stop by McDonald's and get us an ice cream cone. Yeah, it's hot out here. Sounds good. Let's do that. And one of them would have said, are you guys crazy? We're not going to leave all these sheep out here just as sure as we do. Some wolf or some animal is going to come up here and get these sheep. We cannot do that. We can't leave these sheep. There's no way. Listen, they would not have dared to have left those sheep even for an ice cream cone. But oh, listen, there was such a drawing on their heart. There was such a move of God in their lives that night that they were willing to leave the sheep and come into Bethlehem to find the Savior. Remember that time in your life when God brought you to the point that in your heart of hearts, you let go of everything. Everything. And surrendered completely to Him. These guys are illustrating that truth. This drawing upon their souls. And then I want you to notice with me in this story, the reason why we love it so much is because we see not only this drawing that brought them to that point that they forsook everything to come to Christ, but also the difference that it made in their lives. When they came to Christ and received Him, they were not the same afterwards. And I want you to see that. They were changed. And that's what happens when you really meet Him. And that is when a person really comes to Christ. And that is when God does a work in their heart that brings them to the point that they realize they need Him more than anything else in their life. And listen, God brings you to the point you're willing to forsake everything to turn to Christ. When He brings you to that point, you're not the same after that. And they weren't. They were, listen, it was like they were new creatures in Christ like Paul described in the book of 2 Corinthians. Let me just give you a couple illustrations of what I mean. And that is that these guys went from panic to praise. Look at what the Bible says in verse 17. We're back in our text now, Luke chapter 2 and verse 17. And when they had seen it, that is when they came in to Bethlehem and they found Mary and Joseph and that babe lying there in the manger, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, of verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Notice in verse number 20, they are praising God, aren't they? They've gone from panic to praise. They're praising Him. They're giving the glory to God. You see, I say panic, and the reason why is because the Bible tells us in verse number 9 that they are sore afraid. That is, when God showed up and began to speak to them, that is, in the angelic appearance that they had, they were panic-stricken. They were afraid. But these guys who were full of panic when the revelation first came to them are now full of praise. And you know the reason why? Because they just met Jesus. Amen. Listen, if you ever get to Him, I remember, don't you, when God was dealing with my heart. I remember the fear of God that came upon my soul. I remember the burden of weight and sin that was upon me. I remember the brokenness that came to me. But listen, when I finally met Jesus in the altar of that church, listen to me now, it all turned into praise. I went from panic to praise. That's what's going on with these men. And by the way, in Luke's writings, that's one of the chief characteristics of those who've met Jesus. Yeah. Look at how He ends Luke's gospel. Look at how it ends in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 15. The Bible says, and He led them out as far as to Bethany. Jesus, the resurrected Christ after His death and resurrection. He led them as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while He blessed them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. He ascended into heaven. Look what they did. And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And listen to verse 53, sort of a summary statement. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And they were. You start reading in the book of Acts, Luke's sequel, and you'll find that everywhere you turn, there they are, praising God. In Acts 2, the Bible says they're praising God and having favor with all the people. Verses 46 and 47. In Acts chapter number 3, a lame man is healed as Peter and John speak to him. And you know what that rascal did after he got healed? The Bible says he went into the temple area running and leaping and praising God in Acts 3, verses 8 through 10. Oh yeah. You see, there's a theme developing here, isn't there? You can read about it in Acts chapter number 5. After the disciples of our Lord are beaten by the leaders and told to stop preaching about this resurrection stuff, and they better stop it now or they're going to be in even more trouble. They left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Absolutely. As the gospel began to spread, in Acts chapter number 8, the Bible tells us about the believers in Samaria who now have heard the gospel at the preaching of Philip. And the Bible says there was much joy in that city as a result. Do you know that on his second missionary journey, that Paul, along with his helper Silas, did you know they got thrown into the jail in the city of Philippi? After being beaten, they were thrown into jail. And you know what they did? They began to pray. And they begin to sing. Yeah, they're praising God in the Philippian jail. Acts 16 and verse number 25. There is a theme that runs through Luke's writings, and that is that one of the chief characteristics of God's people, those who've really met the Lord, is that they praise Him. Listen to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, 9, and then I'll get to my last point. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Here's why, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. They did watch their sheep by night into His marvelous light. Listen, if you've ever come out of darkness into His marvelous light, then you ought to praise Him. That's what these shepherds did. They were in darkness and all of a sudden the light of the glory of God began to shine around them. And all of a sudden they find themselves in the presence of the one who said, I am the light of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, they couldn't stop praising Him from that point on. They've gone from panic to praise. And listen to me now. And they have gone from watching to witnessing. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, here's what they were doing before they met Jesus. They were just watching their flocks. That's all they were doing. But you know what they're doing now? According to verse 17, they're telling everybody about what happened. Yeah, they're going in telling everybody. Listen to what it says in verse 17. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. That is, after all this is over, they went and told everybody. That is, they went home and said, honey, you'll not believe what happened to me tonight. You will not believe it. And they began to tell their wives about how all that happened that night, the Christ that they met, and they gathered their kids together like you and I would gather at Christmas time. And they said, kids, I want to tell you what happened to Daddy tonight. And all of a sudden the kids realized there's something different about Daddy. He doesn't come home all excited like this. He comes home usually tired and wore out and ready to lay down. And he wants to tell us about something exciting that happened in his life. He met Jesus, and that's why. And they probably went to their neighbors, and maybe they gathered together, maybe the shepherd gathered together and they encouraged one another and went together. Maybe they went from house to house telling people about what it was that happened that night. The Bible says they made that saying known abroad. We know this by the time Luke is writing this gospel, which is many years later, he knows about it. He'd been telling somebody. The news has gotten out. And the reason why is because their life is not about watching sheep. It's about witnessing for the shepherd. You know the reason why there's such a difference in their life? It's because they met Jesus. Two chief characteristics that Luke records for us in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts that characterize those who met the Lord and received Him. Not only their worship, but their witness. They were bold in their witness. And these shepherds illustrate that theme and demonstrate that truth. And that's why this story is so important in our Bibles. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever really met Him? The Lord Jesus. Has there ever been a time in your life when God operated on your heart in such a way that you realized your sinfulness, your darkness, and realized who Jesus was and what He did for you, and God brought you to the point of forsaking everything in your heart and surrendering to Him and what He did for you, receiving Him? Have you ever experienced that kind of an experience in your life? You ever gone from panic to praise, from watching to witnessing? Have you met Him? Let's bow our heads. Well, if the shepherds could come and talk to us today and share their testimony, I believe that they would tell us that Jesus really is real. And that if you ever meet him, he'll change your life. You'll never be the same. I believe that they would tell us, you know, I was once in darkness, but now light. At once I was just going about life as usual, but now my life is completely changed because I met him. Have you? Father, thank you for the example of the shepherds who received the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you'll do your work in our hearts. God, I thank you for that day in my life that you dealt with me and so many in this room that have that similar testimony. But Father, I pray for those who've never really met you, that God, you might work your work in those hearts, that this might be the Christmas that they would receive the best gift that they've ever received. They've received Christ. Would you operate on our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.